Now, there's one thing I didn't tell you, though. I said he had to become high priest, and to become high priest, he had to be made an apostle. What I didn't tell you was, to be made an apostle in the first place, he had to be something else first. What do you think that might have been? Here it is. Before he could be made an apostle, he had to be a son. In other words, before he could be made an apostle, and before anyone can be made an apostle, there has to be a previously existing personal relationship of love, of trust, and of honour to the one that is over him. In other words, a son in the house. Now, with that piece of information in mind, think about this. Timothy, the Timothy you know of in the Bible, did not become an apostle under Paul without first being Paul's faithful son. So sonship comes before apostlehood. By extension, the spirit of sonship must be in the life of Christians, or they do not walk in apostolic grace. Think about Joshua. Joshua did not become Moses' successor and carry much of the exact authority that Moses had. We know this because the Bible says so. That did not happen without Joshua first having been a faithful son in Moses' house. I'm speaking of house spiritually. If you know your Bible, you'll know Joshua glued himself to Moses, was jealous for Moses, did whatever Moses wanted. Thirdly, Elisha did not receive the spirit of Elijah without having first been a devoted follower and a passionate spiritual son to Elijah. So, receiving great authority, receiving great power, anointing being passed on in that kind of order, the full generational flow of apostolic authority does not take place without a relationship of love being in place. Now, do you think you can remain really clear in your thinking about this? Without relationships of love, there is no apostolic order. No apostolic grace flows. No apostolic power as per generational blessing flows. Apostolic life simply does not exist. Even in Christians who have faith in God, who believe for their salvation, their sins are forgiven, they're members of churches, but without this kind of relationship order in the heart, apostolic grace does not appear in its fullness and does not flow generationally. There is not a succession of this kind of life automatically. Just because you're in the church, it requires relationships of love and trust and honor. And that is what comprises, from beginning to end, the substance of what we refer to as apostolic life, and is the only ground upon which apostolic grace exists and flows. Can you see now why we have said, I told you the story last Sunday of how in 95 or 96, I came to suddenly realize that God was not just about the business of restoring apostles to the church. No, something bigger. He was actually about the business of restoring the apostolic nature of Christianity in the earth. Something much bigger. And this, for me, shifted all the ground we were standing on, but we didn't understand it. I didn't know what it meant. for us to be an apostolic people. And I began this search, and it took many, many months. Bit by bit, the information filtered in. And last Sunday it was, I gave you an explanation of that and told you what some of that information was. And it's written up in my first book, my second book. The first thing I heard the Lord say when I asked, what does it mean to be an apostolic people? He said, submission. And I explained last Sunday about that. And he said other things, you know, honor and accountability, openness, transparency, love of the brethren, laying down our lives for the brethren. These are the things that are the substance of apostolic life. It's not whether you plant churches. Any mug can plant a church. Anyone can build a church large. You don't even have to be born again. There was a fellow in America who built a mega church. He had 5,000 souls. He'd spent 30 years. And one day in his office, he discovered by the Holy Spirit that he wasn't born again. And there on the floor of his office, surrendered to God and was born again. And from that time began preaching the gospel more fully, more properly. But he'd built a mega church. Anybody can do it. If you're gifted in natural ways, if you're strong, if you've got, you know, willpower, determination, some discipline, if there's opportunity, you can pray for the sick and see them healed. People do these things. It does not make them apostolic. It's in the heart that you are either apostolic or you're not. But according to the Nicene Creed, written by church fathers a long time ago who knew what they were talking about, they said, we believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We understand the importance of those other words, what it means, the church to be one, the church to be holy, the church to be Catholic, a word that means universal church. What does it mean for the church to be apostolic? That's what we're getting at. It's so important. And you must understand it because this is the grace we carry and seek to communicate to the rest of the world, because this is a very important transformation going on. And after I got through that whole experience of seeking God, what does it mean to be apostolic? I came to this conclusion, the conclusion of which you've heard me mention many times over the years, but you might not have really understood what the formula was that led to it. You've seen mathematical formulas, haven't you, on paper? I despair of them because I was never a natural. I mean, arithmetic, no problem. Simple geometry, I can handle that. But once you got into the algebra, oh yeah, I could learn it, you know. But I stare at a lot of these mathematical formulas. I come across a lot of them these days. Do you know why? Pilots are faced with a lot of formulas. Aerodynamics. You talk about the coefficient of lift and all this kind of stuff. Ugh, boggle the mind, you know? Thank God there's a throttle lever in the plane and you can read the speed. But there's a science behind all of that. But when you look at a formula and you see all these symbols, you know, half P squared and all this kind of stuff, right? And the multiplication that goes on and the addition and it equals, and in the end, how about a simple one? The most common one known in all the world is E equals MC squared, right? We're glad we've got E, don't we? E is energy, is it not? We're glad we've got E. What's M? What's C? Or what do you get when you square C and multiply it by M? Well, you get E. But you see what I mean about formulas? There is an answer, there is an outcome, but it's made up of some component parts. And nonetheless, with what I'm talking about in the apostolic, we drew some conclusions, there are some answers, there is an outcome, and there is a proper formulation of that truth that's very biblical. Here was the outcome, the conclusion I came to after looking at all its component parts and seeking God for months and months. And then not only that, we went out to preach it, and we have preached it for years around this world, only to be all the more deeply confirmed in this knowledge. This is the truth. And here was the outcome of the formula. It was this. that to define the apostolic, what it is and what it means to be an apostolic people, you must define it in terms of how we relate to one another and to God. How we relate to one another. What kind of heart do you have toward other people? What kind of heart do they have to you? But it doesn't stop there. Has the Holy Spirit given you grace that has brought you into such a sense of belonging that you're one? And instead of now despising other people, oh, you feel such honor in your heart toward them, such acceptance. You're not judging them now, but find a great acceptance of them. Instead of, you know, seeing what you despise, oh, you see what you honor and love. A totally different change of heart. And that change of heart comes when you are given apostolic grace. And you are brought into the place where, as a Christian following Christ, that is a genuinely full of the Holy Spirit Christian, you discover yourself in a dynamic. What's dynamic mean? It means a powerful and effective, a dynamic relationship with other people. And if that dynamic relationship is not in place, you have not tasted apostolic grace. But that's what it produces. And so the church has a life as a people. You can get Pentecostal churches that have 100 or 200 people who are each individually baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're prayerful, they believe in God, they got faith, they build businesses, they get outcomes, they're strong, but they're not apostolic because they have not discovered the grace that builds them together as a people of one heart, one mind. We're not interested in 100 powerful individuals, we're interested in a powerful body. When it's all individuals, it's Christian, but it's immature. There's a lot of Pentecostalism in this world that's very arrogant, but very immature. It's not mature until you find the oneness of the body, the oneness of the Spirit. That is the full outcome of Pentecost. Tongues is a partial outcome. The oneness of the body is the full and proper outcome of Pentecost. So hear me. This is what it means to be an apostolic people, to love one another from the heart.
cats had to say.